Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the official Lost Audio Podcast hosted by ABC.com. Hello, everyone. We know we told you that we weren't going to have an audio podcast this week, but surprise, we have one for you with executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse here to celebrate Mother's Day. They have some special surprise guests that they're going to talk to rehash last Thursday's episode, Something Nice Back Home, and take some fan questions and prepare you guys for this Thursday's episode entitled Cabin Fever. That airs Thursday, May 8th at 10:02 p.m. Eastern and is available the next day at abc.com. So, without further ado, here are executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse.
Well, hello, Damon.
Hi there, Carlton.
Welcome to another Lost podcast.
It's always exciting when we do the podcast from this radio booth because we put on headphones and we talk into microphones, and I feel like Jim Morrison at the beginning of The Doors, and right before he dies in the bathtub, and he's recording his memoirs.
Or I like, you know, Jim Ladd, who's one of the last really good radio DJs who does his show here on a radio station in L.A. and actually plays what he wants and kind of still has that really cool DJ thing.
Why don't you spin a record for us right now, Carlton?
I'd like to spin a record. Unfortunately, there is no record player in here. But if I had one, I'd play a little Zeppelin for you right now.
And Carlton, let me ask you, why are we in the radio booth today as opposed to being on my couch, which is where we normally record the podcast? That sounds bad, but...
Yeah, because it is bad. because I will also preface that by saying, why do you also have your pants on today, Damon? Because... we have special guests on the podcast today. Today is our very special Mother's Day podcast, and our special guests are...
Wait, let me guess. It's a Mother's Day podcast. Who would this special guest be?
Perhaps our mothers.
Oh, wow. This is something I've been looking forward to for quite some time.
Yes.
What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Sue.
Hey,
what's your mom's name?
My mom's name is also Sue. It's another lost cross.
Exactly. So you will be hearing Sue Cuse.
And Sue Klausner, which is my mom's maiden name. We can just call them Sue C and Sue K. The fans will not be able to come up with like clever Darlton-like name for them other than Susu.
Susu, I think, is good.
Just like, I think that's the name of the panda that was just born in San Diego last week.
Or S-squared.
S-squared is cool. I like that.
Yeah. Well, here we are with our mothers now on the phone, joining us on our very special Mother's Day podcast. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Carlton. Hi, Damon.
Hello there, Mrs. Cuse.
Oh, it's so nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I've heard so much about you. Carlton is actually... I will now introduce my mother, Susan Klausner. Hi there, Mom.
Hi, Damon.
How are you?
I'm dandy.
You've met Carlton on several occasions, so you've had the pleasure of meeting Carlton. I have not had the pleasure of meeting Carlton's mom. I think
it was a pleasure.
Well, how kind of you.
So anyway, we thought we'd just talk a little bit about the show. Did you guys watch the episode Thursday night, Something Nice Back Home? Because we basically usually start our podcast with a little rehash of the previous episode, and so you know maybe you guys can ask us any questions you might have had. Or, you know, give us your reactions to the last episode. And
this is the episode where Kate and Jack has an appendectomy, and we see that they're together in the future. And, you know, I would ask you, Mom, Susan Klausner, first, what you thought of the episode. Did you like it?
I loved it. I loved that Kate and Jack are together, I think.
You know, I find that very surprising, Mom, because you've actually voiced to me on several occasions that you would rather have Kate be with someone else on the show.
Well, I actually prefer both of them.
Prefer both of whom?
Sawyer and Jack.
Ah, and
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and you know.
And Sue Cuse, what do you think? Kate and Sawyer, or Kate and Jack?
Well, I think that Jack has a better resume, but Sawyer is extraordinarily attractive.
Extraordinarily, indeed.
Yes, I would say he's just kind of a showstopper. If I could get him to wash his hair, it would be a lot. He'd be a lot more attractive.
But I would argue, Mrs. Hughes, isn't it the fact that he would refuse your request to wash his hair?
That makes him so dashing. Yes, that's probably quite true. You know, he could say me Tarzan, and I'd say something about Jane.
Wow. This is getting interesting. It's getting hot in here, and it's not just because I'm in a booth with your son.
Well, I didn't mean to digress like that. I really didn't. I thought the show was absolutely marvelous, and of course, I'd like to preface it with that I'm so unknowing about what's happening or going to happen that I don't have any idea who's even in the coffin, let alone why Jack has transported himself into the future without his body hair.
Mom, do you know about this incredibly important, strange thing that's happened in the episode about Jack's chest hair?
Yeah, I think actually it's somebody's toupee, which will appear in the next episode.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Let us write that down.
Maybe a lock.
Oh, that's good. You guys, we should invite you into the writer's room. I have a question for you both.
Yes.
What do you make of the fact that that Claire wakes up by the fireside and sees Christian Shepherd holding her infant son Aaron in his arms? What's that all about?
I'm thinking that she really wanted her dad to see his grandson.
Interesting.
And Mom, what's your theory about all that?
Well, I think the whole idea of can I give a broader view that I think the whole idea is sort of that the island is a kind of parallel universe that's been dropped in onto our planet. I just think the whole show is extraordinarily intellectually challenging, and I think that they we're constantly confronted with these concepts of things like teleporting and synchronicity and all of this. I think you've done such a marvelous job of involving alongside of this sort of religious value system, so that it shows that science and community spirit or religion can go hand in hand.
I can't speak for Carlton when I say this, but it is so refreshing to be labeled as intellectually challenging as opposed to intellectually challenged, which is very often the case for us here on the podcast. So we should.
I can't imagine you were ever in the cloakroom, Damon.
So
I'm thinking that that they're seeing what they want to see, that the island is magical in that way.
Hmm. Wow.
That when the characters are seeing these things, they're seeing what they're wishing to see, hoping to see. And that manifests itself.
Damon, I'm sure you were a great reader when you were young.
Indeed, and my mom is actually a reading teacher.
Oh, wow.
You know,
well,
which,
yeah.
And read to me very often, all the time. So my love for stories came primarily from her and my dad, who was also a sort of a voracious reader. So, and a lot of people don't know this about Carlton, but Carlton doesn't know how to read. Is that so? It's even more impressive that he has ascended to this level in his career without being literate.
Well, I have to take exception to that because I walked into our living room when he was about 4 years old and he had a Dr. Seuss book. And
now
I
we're said, getting down to it. This is
and
good.
What are you doing? And he said, I'm reading. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, isn't that great? Why don't I sit down with you and you can read it to me? Because I thought probably he had memorized the first 3 or 4 pages. But when we got to page 8 and he was still reading, I decided he was reading.
Wow.
And that was the only book I've ever read.
I do have to tell you that whenever we went anywhere in the car, my car was the only peaceful place when other children were in it because we had stacks of books for whomever was in the car.
And what a charming idea.
They each had their own stack, and they were never bad in the car. So.
Do you carry books in the car with you?
Absolutely.
That is
I
a
do
true
too.
Story.
Yeah.
And that is
Absolutely.
Why I have the uncanny ability to read while in a car.
While driving. Thank you for making your mother happy.
While driving, exactly. That is why I now am able to send emails while driving. And obviously our love for books is reflected very often in the show. We, you know,
oh, so, yes.
And I think the fact that you guys both have the hots for Sawyer, if you'll pardon the expression, is the fact that he's a voracious reader. I think he sits down on the beach and he pops open the book and, you know, aside from the fact that he doesn't wash his hair, that is, you know, he's more than happy.
Well, he's in a sandy situation. So sure.
I must warn Sue Cues, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I do work in Washington Heights, and that if there is a contest for Sawyer, I can take you down.
Whoa. Holy Moses. Washington Heights, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
I don't know.
Washington Heights is in Spanish Harlem. It's not the safest neighborhood in the world. So.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
But I have to warn you, my mom works out, and you haven't seen her biceps.
Whoa.
That's it. I was just going to say, is this a cue for my – would you like to see my biceps?
All right, guys. I think it's time for a little bit of role-playing.
Okay.
I will play Sawyer, and each one of you can make your 30-second impassioned pitch for my affections. So I'll start by going, well, little lady there, Ms. Klausner, you look pretty nice. How about you tell me why you think I should go home with you tonight?
Because, baby, I am me, and there is nobody like me in the nation, the world, or the universe.
Well, that's quite interesting. Now, how about you there, Susie Q's? What do you got in store for me?
Sawyer, hold back now.
I'd
have to say, I certainly hope you enjoy really good red wines with a wonderful dinner. And why don't we start the evening that way?
I'm going to wake up now, and I'm going to realize that this was all a dream.
Sawyer on the newlywed game with our mothers is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I'm just stopping this right now and moving on to another topic. I'd like to ask Damon's mother just a quick word association game. I'm going to name a lost character, and you just give me the sort of first instantaneous response that you have. Just quickly, we'll run through these, okay? Lock.
Yes.
Lock.
Smart.
Jack.
Thoughtful.
Desmond.
Confusing.
Juliet.
Honest.
Mr. Friendly.
Not.
Good.
Ben.
Bipolar.
Mom, how about you? Let me throw a few others at
you.
I'll do some for you, Mom.
Okay.
Hurley.
Overweight.
Now I understand why Carlton only weighs 50 pounds. Claire.
Who?
Claire. Oh, was that your word?
Yes.
So, now I think we've come to the part in the podcast where we will extend to you, our mothers, each one of you gets to ask one question.
Which we won't promise that we'll answer,
honestly. Which the other one will answer. So, Mom, you can ask a question of Carlton, and he will answer. But be sure you really want to know. We will be cutesy and somewhat evasive, but if you ask a question, it will not be dodged.
I want to know who is in the casket.
Don't hold back.
You know, that's a very good question.
I lose sleep over that one.
Oh, you do?
Well, I do.
Well, the good news is you're only going to lose like a couple more weeks of sleep over that one because we promised that we were going to answer that question in the season finale.
All right, so Mrs. Q's, you can now.
Thank you, Carlton, for yet another evasive answer.
We told you. You did ask.
Well, you know, that was a pretty tough question. I mean,
you might as well have asked, what did you
think I was going to ask, Carlton? What is an adverb? I mean, really?
All right, Mrs. Cues, you're up. You can ask me
any
question.
All right, Damon. This is a bit of a double entendre, but is Locke the next chosen disciple for the island?
Oh, that's an excellent question, and very timely, in fact, because that question, in fact, will be answered or at least very, very strongly addressed in this week's episode entitled Cabin Fever.
Okay. All right.
And the title Cabin Fever might refer to Jacob in his cabin, which...
Well, that's it. You see, I think Jacob is... I think Locke has been brought aboard to be sort of a disciple to him at this time.
Fascinating.
And I don't have any idea, but that's what I would guess. I love this kind of biblical reference that goes on. I don't know a great deal about the Bible, but I'm impressed with how you presented all of that with Echo and everyone.
What's really interesting about that episode, Cabin Fever, is we've sort of delved into Old Testament Judaic teachings and New Testament Christian teachings, but in this episode we actually delve into Buddhism,
Great.
And sort of did a lot of research as to how the Dalai Lama is found, if that's a little bit of a hint.
Well, I think he's trying to stay out of China right now, but other than that.
Yes, exactly. Well, not the current Dalai Lama. That is
more historically.
Yeah, we're talking
a little bit
about
bigger
how,
picture.
Yeah, when the Dalai Lama dies, they go looking for his soul.
The little child.
I will say, though, that, you know, these are the same qualities that we love in you as mothers, which is, you know, cut right to the chase. I mean, those were two incredibly prescient questions that got right to the core of what's at stake in the show. No lollygagging around the edges with, you know, are we going to see the four-toed statue again? No, these were real. Those were heart of the show questions and very, very good ones.
Well, I do want to share with you that I watched the Jimmy Kimmel show, and I thought you were both just absolutely wonderful, and I think that he was extraordinarily prescient when he said that he thinks this is going to go down in history as one of the most creative shows in television. I'm happen to be in full agreement, and I'm sure your mom is too, because I just think the level of creativity that you guys are putting out there every week, and I think it's fabulous.
Well, I have to add to that.
I'll have to tell you that nothing before it,
yes.
And I have to predict, because you're allowed to do that for Lost,
right. Yes.
And nothing after it will ever equal the magnitude of this show.
I agree completely.
I think it's going to be sort of like rock and roll.
Well, let's not. Can you guys? How about
that's
a little,
why they're yeah. that's why there are moms.
Exactly.
Aiden, okay.
Now you guys understand exactly the amazing. No, we're being serious. The amazing amount of support that we had as kids growing up, and every time that we sit in the room and we come up with a crazy idea for the show, and you know, could we actually get away with this? That artistic bravery is in no small part due to our amazingly supportive mothers. So happy Mother's Day to you guys.
Thank you so much. I love you both.
I love both of you.
Thank you guys so much for being on the show with us. And lots of love to you both, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, well, that was awesome. It was really fun chatting with their moms, I think.
It was a blast, and now we don't have to call them on Mother's Day.
No,
so.
you still have to call your mom.
Do I have to call your mom?
No, you do not have to call my mom, but I will go ahead and call your mom anyway.
Okay, excellent.
We're going to do a couple of fan questions here quickly before we wrap it up for today. So, Damon, I'm just going to jump right in.
This is from
Chupacabra Cadabra.
Oh, wow.
I love the show. I love the podcast. I love gnawing at the bones of hints and revelations as each layer of the onion is peeled away.
Wow.
That's a great mixed metaphor,
if
there ever was one. Now that Kane has been canceled, will we see Richard Alpert, Nestor Carbonell returning to the show? Really enjoyed the character, so cryptic and so matter-of-fact at the same time. Two, in The Shape of Things to Come, Widmore says the island has been his and implies that Ben stole it from him. Despite his difficulty in finding it now, has Widmore been to the island before? Three, does Aaron have only four toes on each foot?
Wow.
If you answer my questions, I will forgive you for killing Alex in such a cruel and sadistic fashion. Say the magic word, chupacabra. Chupacabra cadabra.
The first one. You will be seeing Richard Alpert before the season is over, sooner rather than later. Question number two, well, I think if he says it's my island, you know, that would be a very bold claim for him to be making had he never even visited it.
It does imply prior history in some form.
It's like being like, don't stay out of my house, even though I've never been inside.
And number three, does Aaron only have four toes on each foot?
No. This is from La Coco. Hi, Damon and Carlton. Can you guys give Chris a cameo appearance somewhere in Lost? His very dramatic facial expressions on the video podcast merit him for something. Maybe a spot on a Spanish soap opera that Hurley happens to be watching in a flash forward session. I would love that. On a more serious note, in The Shape of Things to Come, Ben and Charles were talking about searching for the island because it seemed that nobody, at least neither of them, knew exactly where it's located. However, somebody off the island has to know where it is if the island is still being supplied with Dharma airdrops. Will we ever learn about who is controlling these airdrops and why they still bore Dharma logos? Thanks a lot. Love the show. The season's been absolutely brilliant. Best one yet. Love, Chris White's mother.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Chris White's mother. And, you know, you're right. I think your son is perfectly appropriate for a Spanish soap opera that Hurley is watching.
Telenovela.
And if Hurley ever is watching a telenovela that we produce, I think, Chris, how is your Spanish, Chris?
Muy bien.
Oh, good. Okay. Muy bien.
All is right. that Spanish for really bad?
Yeah.
All right. Well, answer the question, Carlton. Okay. Dharma drops.
Dharma drops.
Will we ever learn?
You know, that's good. I mean, that recalls a lot of history with the show. But I think that next year we will be dealing a little bit more significantly with some Dharma things. And I think Dharma drops might be one of those questions that season 5 will provide you with the answer for. Not going to happen between now and the finale, but when the show is back next season, I'm thinking Dharma drops will be your, if that's really what you need to know about the show, I feel like you will feel satisfied.
If a Dharma drop happens on the wrong bearing, does that mean that something can get dropped off in like 1965 and arrive in 2005?
I think that's an episode.
Whoa. All right. I'm going to write that one down.
This is from Jack at 8:15. I want to know, is there still hope for Jack at in the future? I was really disappointed after the last episode. Please don't put an end to our beautiful relationship between these two wonderful characters. Please bring back our jacket.
Jacket, for those of you...
Our skaters or jaders. Or jaders
is the Juliet-Jack combination. All we can say is, you know, there is a romantic quadrangle of which Juliet is a member. Kate and Jack are also members, and... you know, we like to mix and match on the show as often as possible, so you might be seeing a little bit of Cackett. I'd like to see Juliet and Miles get together just so that we could say it was Giles. this is a question from an almost unpronounceable name, but there are X's involved, so you know who you are. X-G-D-A-W-G-X. Carlton, it's been killing me. I know Steve supposedly went with Locke, so I want to know if the first meat sock that got shot was, in fact, Steve. And Claire better not die. I mean, ever. The reason Kate has Aaron better be just because Claire got stuck on the island. Also, are Claire and Jack ever going to find out their brother and sister? So question number one. Steve, was that him?
No, that was actually Doug.
Now, Doug was the guy who was holding the wood, but then somebody else comes running out of the house behind him, and there is speculation that that is, in fact, Steve.
Oh, yeah, that guy was Steve.
That was Steve.
He wasn't the first guy shot. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Claire better not die. That's just a request, okay. Not really quite a question.
I think it's more of a threat.
Right.
Claire is a wonderful character, and I don't think that you should, you know, read too much into the fact that she's missing at the moment.
And I'm not sure whether or not we should deal directly with whether or not Claire and Jack are going to ever find out if they're brother and sister. But instead, I would ask you this. Will we see Claire again before the season's out? Because now she's gone missing. And I'm like, if I don't see her until season 5, I'm going to be very upset.
Well, then you won't be upset.
Oh, so you are saying we will see her again.
We will see her again before the end of the year. And that, you know, the question of the fact, it's very interesting to us that they are half brother and sister and they yet don't know this. And so, you know, that's one of those things that when the characters find out, I think it'll be very satisfying. So I think this has been really an incredible podcast, the one in which...
incredibly disturbing.
No.
Yeah.
I always love talking to your mom.
I love talking to your mom and the fact that she has red wine ready and willing to decant for Sawyer. I'm sure they're still hashing it out right now.
Anyway, well, we'll see you guys next week. We'll be back with a little rehash of Cabin Fever and a little prehash of
our one of the finale. 3-hour finale adventure.
So until then, aloha and mahalo.
Peace out.
That's it for this edition of the official Lost Audio Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back sometime next week with a rehash of Cabin Fever, which airs Thursday, May 8th at 10:02 p.m. Eastern, and a prehash of part 1 of the season finale entitled There's No Place Like Home.